All right, we're back with Bill Holter today. And last time we had Bill on, we talked about financial collapse, which he believes is, well, rather imminent. But in addition to the financial weaponization of our world and the food scarcity and the energy scarcity, we've got people dropping over dead after taking all these vaccines and vaccine boosters. And we've got bioweapons that have been developed in China using some U.S. funds through Fauci and the NIAID and so on. And so I wanted to get Bill Holter's take on some of that before we get into some other issues. Bill, welcome to the show. It's always great to have you on.
Thanks for having me back, Mike.
Absolutely. People love your work. I follow your work. I just want to mention your website, jsmindset.com. That's M-I-N-E-S-E-T, jsmindset.com. Now, you've been watching the vaccine situation, so-called vaccines, mRNA injections. I know you're aware because you stay on top of news and developments more than almost anybody. What's your take on what's happening with all the deaths and the injuries among the vaccinated?
It's pretty obvious. I mean, all you have to do is look at insurance company numbers. Just look at numbers at funeral homes. Look at the amount of caskets. Look at the amount of cremations. The amount of deaths have increased. The insurance company numbers earlier this year showed that excessive deaths were in excess of the previous years by 40%. And they weren't older people, they were people, in their 40s, 50s, 60s, seemingly healthy people. And you can't go a single day now where you hear or where you don't hear of a world-class athlete, whether it be a baseball player, football player, college, high school, you name it, that drops dead. I mean, they just had a marathon in South Africa a couple days ago, and they actually, two people died, and 73 people were brought to the hospital with chest pains. Has that happened just think back 2 years ago or a year ago before the vaccines were out. Did that ever happen? No, it didn't. And I would also say, right from the start, you had to know something was wrong. I mean, I looked at it right off the bat, and I said, my wife and I looked at each other, and we're like, I'm not taking this. I'm not going to be a guinea pig. We'll see what happens, and then maybe we'll take it. But once you started seeing stories of, you could get a free McDonald's hamburger for the vaccine, or the city of New York would give you $100 to get the vaccine. If you're being bribed, or if you're being coerced, or if you're being mandated to do something, you can be virtually 99.9% sure that it's not for your benefit.
So it's extraordinary. So many people, they took vaccines in exchange for things like lottery tickets.
So their life was worth a lottery ticket.
Exactly. That's what they're saying. Their life is worth a lottery ticket or a free French fries or a free beer.
Right.
And then after the incentives didn't produce the results they wanted, they went to coercion. You're going to be fired.
Right. And here we are. If you remember just about 1 year ago, say last late summer, what was the favorite saying of, and I'm just going to say, the left, liberals, what was their favorite saying?
Trust the science?
Just do the right thing.
Oh, just do the right thing.
And that really irritated me because these are people that, I'm not a scientist and these people weren't scientists. They're telling me to do something with my body, telling me just do the right thing. Now we're at the point where I think a lot of people are in denial. A lot of people refuse to try to connect the excess deaths. They refuse to see the miscarriages. They refuse to see what's happening right before their eyes because they've done it to themselves.
But isn't this classic leftism to do something that's suicidal and then to blame somebody else for your problem, whether we're talking about economics, money printing,
right,
or vaccines, and they double down on their own suicide cult, essentially. I mean, that's my rendition of it, not necessarily yours, but to say, oh, well, vaccines are going to save everybody. We should all take them. And then you take it, and then you get really sick, And then what do they say? Well, we need more of them. That just seems like insanity to me.
Yeah, but the next step is these people getting angry. The next step is once there's enough of a connection, there's enough people making the connection, then you're going to see people getting extremely angry because they realize if they didn't kill themselves, they've certainly shortened their lives. So the anger, and I mean, there's no question about it. The left are angry people. They're hateful people. And once they realize that they did this to themselves, then they're going to get pissed. And I do want to mention this just from a biblical standpoint. No one that I know of was actually forced, like strapped down and gotten the jab stuck in their arm. Everyone had to make a decision. Now, were people coerced by, you either get the jab or you lose your job? You either get the jab or you can't go to college. You either get the jab or you can't get a surgery. Everyone who got the jab, it was a decision on their own. And that's the way Satan works. It's just the way it works. You have to make the choice. And I mean, I can just imagine Satan laughing his ass off each time somebody made that choice.
Well, I've pointed out the same thing. It's like a spiritual contract. And the contract has to be entered with a person's consent.
Right.
Because if they hold you down and jab you in the arm with a needle, then you haven't consented to the satanic, you know, alteration of your human genetic code that was a gift from God, for example.
Yep.
But if you say, okay, I'm willing to do it because you made it economically painful enough for me, or you wouldn't let me travel to visit my daughter in college or whatever, but you went in on it, just like you said, Bill. People went in and they said, okay, I give in, I'll take the jab, without doing the research, without even knowing what's in it.
Well, without doing the research, but you mentioned travel. I probably know 24 people that got the jab because they said, well, we want to travel. That's greed. That's, you know, I want to do something. So since I can't do it, unless I get the jab, I'll acquiesce. And it's foolish.
You know, there are dozens of doctors that have died in Canada just in the last few months.
I saw that today.
So you've also got Sotomayor, the Supreme Court justice, saying that the New York vaccine mandate must stay in force, including against children. So I call this liberal on liberal violence. Mm-hmm. Sotomayor is a leftist, and she's saying that all the other leftists in New York City have to be jabbed. She's in essence saying, we're gonna sacrifice these children to the vaccine, and it's their own children, for God's sake.
Right. Well, here you've got Sotomayor, who is obviously not a scientist, and then the last, the one that they installed a few months back, doesn't know the difference, you know, can't define what a woman is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so right. There's two ends of the spectrum, one who's a scientist and one can't, you know, even understand biology.
Yeah, right. Well, none of them understand economics.
Correct.
In fact, I would say that almost all elected representatives currently serving, with a few exceptions, I mean, Rand Paul understands
right.
economics, and they're, you know, Jim Jordan does, and mm-hmm. there are some good people. But by and large, the typical member of Congress couldn't tell you how inflation works, compounding interest, where money comes from, why
right.
money is a debt instrument, none of that. I mean, we're being led by economically illiterate people. Literally, that's the case.
Right. Well, the perfect example of that is all these checks that they're sending out. And now they're going to send out another $2,000 to everyone. That is so inflationary. It's inflationary from the standpoint of they're creating the money out of thin air, which they had done for years and years and years, but they didn't give it to the public. It went into the banking system, and it allowed the banks to fake that they were still solvent. Now they're giving it to the people, and what are the people doing with it? they're buying stuff. And they're buying stuff at the same time that the supply chains are not cranking out as much stuff as they were before when there wasn't this much money out there. So obviously, you're going to see prices go higher and you're going to see more shortages.
Let's talk about those shortages and let's distinguish between domestic supply chain problems, which I think a lot of those are focused on labor shortages because people have been paid to stay home and not work.
Right.
Versus the international shortages with China shutting down many factories, claiming it's because of a lack of hydropower. The hot weather is causing them to shut down. I'm not sure if that's a cover story or what, but China's also moving its economy over to wartime production. You know, we've learned that from other sources. So maybe they're just shutting down some of these factories for good. What's your take on all of this? I mean, not just consumer goods, but the industrial products
right.
that are necessary to run the infrastructure that keeps a country alive.
First I want to say that they're not stupid. When I say there, I'm talking about China, Russia, the rest of the world. They're not stupid. They understand, probably understand better or finance better than you or I do. They understand that the West is now completely indebted. And when an individual, an entity, or a nation is over indebted, it creates less options. You have less wiggle room. And for instance, with China, I mean, they think in terms of hundreds of years. They don't think in terms of next week or next quarter, which is what the West does. They also, if you've ever read Sun Tzu, what's the best way to win a war without ever firing a shot or doing anything aggressive? Let your enemy destroy themselves. Well, that's really what the West has done by indebting themselves far beyond any realistic way to pay that debt back. And now conveniently, their output is slowing. So that's going to obviously slow the real economy because just look at chips. I mean, try to buy a Polaris, try to buy a Ford. You know, they're not being made because the chips, everything runs with chips, which by the way would not be a bad idea to purchase an older car, older truck, something that will run if there's an EMP that doesn't have to run on chips because you can always find an old Chevrolet in a junkyard, but you can't find a chip to replace a vehicle. But my point being, they understand that by them damaging the supply chain, that damages the real economy. And what feeds the financial industry or the financial economy? The debt service is paid for by income from the real economy. So if you start to choke off the real economy, you're actually choking off the financial economy. And with the amount of debt outstanding, eventually you're going to create a cascade of dominoes, you know, debt dominoes collapsing.
Now, a lot of these scenarios lead us into a global conflict, a military conflict even with China or Russia, NATO and Russia, right on the verge of that right now. Mm-hmm. And yet I've read some, what I believe are very solid analyses showing that America's ability to manufacture munitions to be used in war
right.
is severely compromised. The United States military has been sending thousands of javelins, for example, over to Ukraine without the ability to replace those,
correct.
Without taking years, literally years. The microchips for a lot of these weapon systems, like Stinger missiles and Sidewinders, ground-to-air, air-to-air, those microchips have to come out of places like Taiwan, the Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing, which is under threat by China, and the short supply anyway, long, long wait times, and that could be cut off at any moment. My question, Bill, sorry to take so long to get to it, is does America even have the domestic supply chain necessary to fight and win a war anymore like we did in World War II?
No, not even possible. And you saw that the reports out earlier today is that our munitions are running low without really a way to replenish those. One thing you forgot to mention in there were strategic metals. Strategic metals, there are only a few places in the world where the vast amount of strategic metals are, and not in the United States.
Right, I mean, right. Think about aluminum out of Russia,
right,
for example, and also copper, titanium.
Well, even more scarce metals than those, you know, the high tech.
Oh, the rare earths.
Yeah, just the rare earth metals. Those are used in high tech munitions, and those are, we don't produce those in the United States, or right. We produce very, very little. So, I mean, that's another addition to the supply chain, but that's right at the base of the supply chain.
So it seems like a lot of this that we've been talking about, Bill, whether it's food scarcity, energy scarcity, vaccine deaths, and now what looks like the deliberate dismantling of infrastructure that keeps society functioning, whether deliberate or not, it leads to depopulation. This right. leads to a die-off, because human beings, to stay alive, they've got to eat, they've got to have energy, they've got to have shelter, which means air conditioning or heating, depending on the season and so on. In your view, is there a deliberate depopulation effort underway, or is this just incompetence that's going to lead to people dying?
If you asked me that question 2 years ago, I would have been skeptical. But you're asking the question today, after the vaccines, after the policies that have been put into place are too stupid to be stupid. And actually, when I first started writing back in 2007, I saw I saw the policies that they were putting in place. And I came right out and said that there's no way anyone could be this stupid, so it has to be a plan. Would I have believed that the plan was a depopulation event of the world? No. Like I said, even 2 years ago, I would have been skeptical. As of right now, I absolutely believe the whole plan is depopulation.
You know, along those lines, isn't it amazing that the vaccines have been very successful in first world countries, but the vaccine uptake in third world countries was relatively low, but
right.
then the third world countries get hit by the food scarcity and the fertilizer scarcity,
right.
so they're going to starve, but we're going to die from clots. You know?
Well, not only that, there was a study, I just saw it today, I think it was released just in the last 2 or 3 days, that they did a full analysis of the vaccines. And with the metals that are in the vaccine and the graphene oxide, there's no question that the 5G towers that they've been building, and I mean, they've built out everywhere in the United States, those are going to be used to, if you want to call it, control the population or destroy the population, light people up.
Well, let me share something with you. I mean,
they're human antennas, basically.
Right, right, exactly. And, you know, we've contributed to a lot of that research. We've done the ICP-MS analysis on the metals. The Epoch Times is doing a story based on my lab results right now. It'll come out in a few days. But even I've been skeptical of any kind of control mechanism, but I understand basic physics, which means that just external fields can cause
pain.
Well, heat.
What have you, right.
Like they can cauterize the arteries from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Just like induction on an induction stove, you know, you have an electric field and then you have a pan and the current is induced in the pan and it heats up.
Right.
Like they can do that at minimum. Even if, mm-hmm. if people are listening and they think it's science fiction about, you know, remote control, fine. They can heat them up. They can cook people from the inside.
Right.
That's no joke.
Another good reason not to have taken the vaccine.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, so another common theme of where this is going, Bill, is the collapse of the rule of law and rising chaos. Now, you've already talked about how when the banking system fails, obviously there's going to be riots and chaos. When food scarcity gets worse, But also, what about when people wake up and realize they were all mass murdered, or their loved ones were mass murdered by these vaccines? Couldn't there be even a mass uprising among leftists?
Oh, absolutely. I expect that. I think it was the last interview we talked about. Once people figure out that they, if they didn't kill themselves, they shortened their lifespan greatly. Once people figure that out, they're going to be pissed. And people on the left, I think more people on the left took the jab than conservatives. I think libertarians, probably very few of them, took the jab. But once it's known that you killed yourself, you're right. People are going to go wild, and there will be riots, insurrections, whatever you want to call it, on a mass scale, unseen ever before in the United States.
That's also going to be a psychologically earth-shattering type of event for the typical leftist, because they've operated on this assumption that they are intellectually superior.
Right.
They know better than conservatives. They would call.
They know what's best for you.
Right. Right. Exactly. And you know, you and I, Bill, we both live in the country. We live on ranches, rural property. They would call us like dumb hicks or something.
Neanderthals.
Right.
Knuckle draggers.
And yet it turns out we were right again and again. But a lot of these leftists, and I know plenty of people like this too, who said, well, I did the research. I went on Google and I did all the research. Google, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's not research, that's propaganda.
Right.
All you did was trick yourself into vaccine-assisted suicide.
Yep.
But isn't that gonna be just a philosophically shattering moment for many leftists when they realize how deeply they were lied to?
Well, it would be a shattering moment for anyone if they finally truly figured out that something that they did was damaging to the point of, you know, you could die before the sun rises tomorrow, but you definitely shortened your life. And when people figure that out, I mean, no matter whether it's left, right, whoever it is, yeah, that's got to shatter somebody's psyche entirely. Oh, and one other thing.
Yes.
Isn't it funny how most all of our conspiracy theories have come true?
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
By the day.
I mean, you go back to John F. Kennedy. I think that's when everything, I think that was the demarcation line right there.
Well, and now given what the FBI is doing, I see a lot of people retroactively looking back at history and saying, well, wait a second.
Right.
What was the FBI's role in the 1993
exactly.
bombing of the World Trade Center?
Right.
Or the bombing in
Oklahoma City, exactly. Yeah. Yep.
A lot of people are putting that together. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you think that, you know, there's a lot of relocation happening now. People are fleeing not just the blue cities, but the blue states.
Mm-hmm.
They're leaving California, they're leaving New York, and the governor of New York actually told all conservatives to get the hell out of New York.
I saw that.
Which you don't even have to tell them that. They're doing it anyway.
Right.
Kathy. Or should we call her Karen? But the point is, do you think people are going to be safe in red states like Florida, Texas, and so on? Or is the chaos going to be so widespread that, you know, you're really in danger everywhere across America?
I think it doesn't matter, red state, blue state, you're going to be in danger everywhere, because the infrastructure of society, of life, is going to break down. And whether you're in a red state or blue state, if you're in a city of a million, 2 million, 5 million people, what difference does it make? You know, a hungry person is a hungry person. So I don't think it makes a difference. I think the people that have already made the move rural will have a better chance, and that's certainly no guarantee that you're going to make it.
Well, it seems to me, I mean, if you don't mind me saying, that the first 2 months are going to be the most dangerous and the most intense, but beyond the first 2 months, a lot of people will have starved to death at that time.
Right.
But during the desperation starvation, which is like, let's say, 3 weeks to 10 weeks mm-hmm. before they die, you know, they're going to be totally insane. It's almost like
right.
a zombie wave.
Yep.
I mean, that's when you're going to wish, you know, you had community defense and plenty of ammo.
Right. Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, the first and like you said, call it the first 2 months, you will have mass deaths, but you'll also have people who are still alive that will do absolutely anything for food, for clean water, for whatever. That will be the first onslaught. And then after that, then it will be attrition.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I agree with you. And maybe I shouldn't say this, but I think one of the silver linings in all of this in the post-apocalypse scenario is that pedophiles who are caught will just be shot on sight.
Amen.
I don't think there's going to be any, you know, court system functioning in many areas. It's going to be, hey, whoa, you were doing what?
There will be no court systems. And that, you know, you will see vigilante justice.
Indeed.
And for good reason.
All right, Bill, we're wrapping up this segment with you, and I want to thank you for your time. I want to give you a chance to tell people how they can follow you and connect with you, and also want to mention you are a precious metals representative for Miles Franklin. You can help people get squared away with what they need, and you can educate people as well. So give us some details how they can reach you.
Yeah, you can reach me, or you can follow my work at jsmindset, MINESET.com. If you want to reach me directly, you can email me at bholter@hotmail.com.
Okay, you got it there. Folks, reach out to Bill Holter if you've got questions on this and comments, you want to get squared away. I mean, Bill Holter handles a lot of very wealthy people, but he's also helped educate a lot of regular folks into how to get squared away on all of this. Thank you so much, Bill. It's always an honor being able to speak with you.
Thanks for having me back.